In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're on page 13, volume 35, 1-2-1938. And Jesus begins, now you must know, and again, we know, we have the book, you must know. These are the commands of Jesus to help us understand how to do this and why he wants to do this. He said that in order to begin to live in my divine will, it takes a decision on the part of God and a firm decision to live in it on the part of the soul, on the part of creature. So God has made this decision. He says it's the decision of creation, the command of creation, the command of redemption, and now it's the command of possession of this gift, giving this back to mankind, this time of sanctification. He says, now this decision is animated by a new divine life, by a new divine strength, such as to render the creature unconquerable by any evil or any situation of or circumstance of life. This firm decision is what we want. We say to Jesus when we read this, I want to make this firm decision. We say this to the Lord. You want this? I want it. You have made the decision? I want to make the decision. And today, let's do this on this first Saturday, this feast of St. Norbert, this feast of remembering D-Day, Divine Will Day. Let's make this decision to Jesus that I want to make a firm decision to receive this new life, to receive this new divine strength, to help me never be conquered by evil again, to help me never to be overwhelmed by any circumstance of life ever again. God goes, good. See, but he has to hear it from each and every one of us. We just don't read it and go, well, that's nice. That's Jesus is speaking to us. When we read the volumes, Jesus is speaking to us. And he's in a conversation. It's like being in your own home, sitting on the couch with Jesus next to you. And he's asking you, all right, do you want to make this firm decision? You go, yes, Lord. And then he says, do you want to be animated by a new divine way of living? Just what St. John Paul II said. A new and divine way of holiness? And we go, yes, Lord. He says, do you want to receive a divine strength that will free you of all evil and all and any circumstance of life? And you go, definitely, yes, Lord. And he goes, good. See, this conversation, the book of heaven is different than any other book, Jesus says. It's the only book that will transform a soul. So he's looking at us and he's asking us, is this a novel to you, or are you really entering into communion with God? Are you talking to him? Is he talking to you? Are you listening to him? Is he listening to you? Are you becoming one with God, our Savior? And if we're not, maybe that's one of the reasons why we haven't entered into this gift yet. We haven't really gotten into a deep spiritual conversation with our master, with our king. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us. These are the words he gave to Louisa. When you look at the pictures of Louisa reading the volumes, she's focused on these words. She's entered into this life, this word of God she's participating in. And again, that's what God is asking of us. Do you want to enter into this life? And when we say yes, he goes, good. Now prove it. And to prove it is to say, okay, I want to make a commitment to you, Lord Jesus, that I will read every day at least a half an hour. I will begin in the morning with my prevening act. I'll end at night with an act of contrition in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And throughout the day, I'll do my actual acts in the divine will. God goes, good. That's a good beginning. And this is what he's saying. To render us unconquerable by any evil. So what will happen is he'll test us. That's step four, to take the test. The test is every day. People that annoy you, situations that disturb you. God will put you in those situations and he goes, what are you going to do? Are you going to get upset? Or are you going to say, Fia, Lord, I trust you. I'm sorry this is happening to you. Lord, I want to repair this. When we learn how to repair and redo in the divine will, everything is peaceful. It doesn't mean it's not sad. It's at times. But it's you trust in God. It's like Mary at the foot of the cross. Our Lady at the foot of the cross did not lose hope, did not lose trust and happiness in God. She saw her son die a horrible crucifixion. And she did not despair. She did not lose it as most do. She died with Jesus. And Jesus says, if it wasn't for a miracle of the divine will, she would have physically died at that point. Jesus is asking us, is this firm decision on your part? And when we say yes, then I will give you a new life. I will give you a divine strength, something that you've never seen before. Everybody I know in the divine will agrees to this. They say they have seen it in their own lives. Such as surrender the creature, unconquerable by any evil or any circumstance of life. This decision, Jesus says, is not subject to changes. Because when we, Triune God, decide, we, Triune God, do not bother dealing with kids who make a joke of their decision, but with those whom we know must persevere. That's us. Therefore, we, Triune God, give of our own so that this soul may not fall short. That's what God is doing with us. It may be that she feels the miseries of evils, of weaknesses, but this means nothing because in the face of divine power, divine sanctity, of my divine will, these things die. They disappear. They feel the pain of death and they flee. More so since these miseries are not a birth from the human will, but because of her human will is shrunken inside my divine will and therefore cannot will anything but what I myself want. So here he's saying, once we make this decision, there will be difficulties, there will be trials, there will be the test of Abraham. But he says, but you cannot will anything but what I, God, want. Why? Because we know this is our life. We've chosen his will, not ours any longer. And many times my divine will even uses these miseries to make of them the most beautiful conquests and lay its life upon them, forming its kingdom, extending its dominion, and converting the weaknesses into victories, weaknesses into triumphs. Indeed, the one who lives in my divine will, all things must serve my divine will as the most beautiful love that a soul can give back to his God who has formed his own life, almost like stones and bricks in the rubble, to the one who wants to build for himself a beautiful house. God is going to do it. He's given us everything that we need. And now he's saying to us, watch what I'm going to do. And it's not by chance that he talks about stones, bricks, and rubble. Jesus is building a palace for us, a mansion for us. God is building us our home. He's going to take care of us. And again, the more you get into the divine will, the sooner you get into the divine will, the happier you're going to become. Why? You trust in him. You believe in him. You have confidence in him. So he says, now, you must know, again, another command from Jesus, that before the soul comes to live in our divine will, we, Triune God, purify everything. So that's what God is doing with us. He, you know, again, to have humility, which Jesus says this about the Blessed Mother, to have humility, you must be humiliated. So our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, our relatives, our humiliating us. They can't believe the divine will. They don't want to believe the divine will. They want you to be so humiliated that you won't talk about it anymore. The thing is, this is a gift. Jesus, you know why Jesus is saying this? He's saying this to us. He says, because I want you to experience what I went through. And to have the heroic forgiveness. The heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. If they knew what this was about, they wouldn't stop this. But they don't know what it's about. And Jesus says, will you do this for them? Would you go through the humiliations for them? And when we say yes, you don't get angry anymore. You don't get upset anymore. You don't become miserable anymore. It's fiat. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I can share in your humiliation. Thank you that through this fiat, they also will be able to live in your divine will. Jesus says it's not for many at first. It's for the yeast. You don't use a lot of yeast in the flour. It's for the few faithful. That's why this is the gift of gifts and nobody knows about it. My priest friends, my good friends, religious friends, they do not like Louisa. And I go, why? And they go, well, we don't want any of this. Even the bishops I've talked to, I've had some bishops say, this is not my spirituality. And I go, but if it was your spirituality, I remember one bishop said to me, he says, as a bishop, would you only focus on divine will? I said, absolutely. That's all I would do. It's the only thing that's important at this point. And he goes, that's all we need to know. I thought that was hilarious. But anyways, God wants us to begin to live this life. And you're alone. Why are you alone? So that you can read more, study more, put this into practice. Your phone calls end because all you say to them is fiat. Everything's going to be taken care of. Fiat. God's in charge. Fiat. Be peaceful. Fiat. And they don't want to hear that. Misery loves company. So people stop calling you. Good. Now you can read more, study more, put this into practice. You're alone with Jesus. This is magnificent. This is great. This is what God is asking of us. Now, you must know that before the soul comes to live in our divine will, we purify everything, we cover and hide everything inside our love in such a way that we must see nothing but our own divine love in that soul. Do you see why God wants us alone? He wants to reign in us. When our love has hidden everything, even the miseries of the soul, then does the soul take her place inside our most holy divine will even more. Every time she admits her act, first she is purified. Then our human will invests her. And then it makes of her what God wants. He wants to produce in us his own divine masterpiece. That's what he's doing. So, When if you've ever worked in a studio, the best time to work in a studio is when nobody's there. You can really focus. You can really begin to develop, to create. But when other people are around, you don't have that intense focus. God is asking us to have an intense focus of this great gift of the divine will, to read, to study, to put this into practice. To listen to Jesus speak to us. What he says to me isn't exactly what he says to you. It all depends on where your spirituality is. If you have an intense love for Jesus, he's going to show you things that he can't show me. Because I don't have that intense love. But what he wants is he wants to be alone with you. So that you can hear him with your heart. And then he goes into great detail for all eternity. He goes into great detail of what he has planned and it will never end. It's always glorious. It's always magnificent. 535, 8, 28, 19, 38. Without our divine will, there cannot be any good in the soul. And even if it seems that they do good, it is only apparent good that cannot last because the substance of the life of our fiat is missing. It's only temporary. One challenge, one disappointment that arises is sufficient for that good to end, and they regret having done it. Instead, anything done in my most holy divine will possesses an unshakable firmness and does not stop in the face of disappointments or challenges. Rather, these acts run even more to give divine life of the divine good that they possess. You see what God's bringing us into? This isn't human. It's divine. It's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Volume 36, 626, 1938. On top of the unceasing love, there is another sign that the soul lives in my divine will. This sign reigns in the soul. This sign reigns in the soul. The immutability never moving from God, from good to evil. This can only be of God. It is firm. It is a constant character. It is hard to change in its action. The constancy that only a divine patience can have. Always to repeat an act without ever getting tired, never being bothered, never regretting. It is only of God. This is divine. Now, the soul who lives in our divine fiat feels her immutability and invested by such firmness that she would never change her action, not for heaven, not for earth. She would rather die than stop doing and redoing what she does. See, God is teaching us how to repair and redo. He's teaching us the importance of especially at night, to make a good act of contrition in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Kneeling down, saying to the Lord, in the name of every human being that ever existed, who are existing and who are yet to exist, I'm deeply sorry for not living in your divine will. I want to repair everything. I want to redo everything as if no sin was ever committed. When you look at what they're doing and redoing in the divine will is all about, the repairing, you begin to understand what this command prayer is all about. Furthermore, anything she does with a firm heart without ever changing had its origin in God. So the soul feels God in her act. And repeating it, the soul feels that act flowing in her action, animated by God himself. Honest to goodness, you actually feel this. You actually begin to sense God. When you read Louisa saying, I could feel God in my interior, this begins. Little by little, this begins. What is so astonishing of this gift is this is what God wanted from the beginning. And when Adam fell, it took 4,000 years for Jesus and Mary to come to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. Then it took 2,000 years of doing the will of God that the saints have taught us to get us to the point to have Louisa. And now Jesus says, now I begin a new era. Now a new beginning is coming. 536, 56, 1938. My good daughter, it is very easy to enter into my divine will, since your Jesus never teaches anything difficult. He's talking to children. This is easy. It's not complicated. My divine love makes me adapt to human capabilities so that the creature can do with no difficulty what I, God, teach, what I, God, want. So he says this, you must know that the first indispensable thing in order to enter into my divine fiat is wanting and firmly yearning to live in it. You say, fiat, I want this. You read this and you go, I have no idea what this means, but I want it. Why? God wants us to have it. I want this, Lord. I want to live this life that you have planned from the beginning of time. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. That's exactly what scripture says. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. What's coming is so powerful. It's so magnificent. that the Holy Church is going to be beautiful. It's going to be magnificent. No cracks, no paint peeling. No, it's going to be what God wanted from the beginning. Everything is coming. The kingdom. Just remember, paradise, nothing in paradise is inanimate. Nothing in paradise is dead. Nothing can die in paradise. That was never part of God's plan. And what the Lord is looking for is he's saying, who wants to go back to paradise? Who wants to live in the Garden of Eden? Who wants me to form their palace for them? And we go, I do. And he goes, good. Get out of my way and let me do this. God is doing this. That's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. The second thing is to take the first step. And once the first step is done, my divine will surrounds the creatures with so much divine light and attraction that the soul loses any desire to do her own human will. In fact, as soon as she takes a step, she feels divinely powerful. The night of the passions, the night of weaknesses, the night of miseries has now turned into day, into divine strength. So the soul feels an irresistible need to take a second step. This calls for the third step, the fourth step, the fifth step, and so on. We begin to run in the divine will. These are the steps of divine light that embellish the soul. These are divine steps of divine light that sanctifies the souls, that makes the soul divinely happy, that puts the soul on the right way, that makes the soul similar to her God, image and likeness, to the extent that not only does one feel the extreme need to live in the divine will, but the soul also feels the divine will as inseparable from herself and as her own life. Then see how easy it is. By wanting is necessary. My paternal goodness wants it also, always present in my divine will, with divine grace, divine love, divine goodness. And since I, Jesus, also want it, I, God, add my divine contributions. That is, my own life if necessary. Why? To give the soul all the help and all the means, even my own divine life as her own, in order to make the soul live in my most holy divine will. God wants this more than anything. So he says this, I, God, don't hold back on anything when it comes to making a creature live in my most holy divine will. Do you believe that? He says, I want this more than anything. I want this more than anything. And then what we say? We say back to God, if you want this more than anything, then I want this more than anything. If this is the most important thing to you, Lord God, I want this. That's what he has to hear from us. Do we understand what he's saying? As Lord, as God, as Master, as King, he's saying this. This is the most important thing to me, that you live in my divine will as I originally planned all my children to live in my divine will. Adam lived in it and he lost it. God now gave this back to Louisa. And if we're linked to Louisa, we begin to live in it. It's just the first step. What God is saying is, I want you to possess this so much that I can fill you to overflowing with this gift. So Jesus says, my little daughter, my divine will, my divine entrance, my divine continuous yearning for the soul to live in my divine will is such that once we have made the agreement, myself and the soul. So Jesus is saying he wants to make an agreement with you. He wants to make an agreement with me. With a firm decision that the soul must live in my fiat. That's the decision. With a firm decision, I want to live in the divine fiat. God has to hear that from you. If this is not a novel, something to read, that was nice. With a firm decision that the soul must live in my fiat, this being my divine will, I am. God says, I am the first one who makes the sacrifice to obtain the intent so that the soul may live in it. So we say to Jesus, I want to live in your divine will. I make this firm decision. God goes, good. I'm going to take care of it. Humanly speaking, it is impossible for me or for anybody. Divinely, it's possible. Jesus is going to do it. He's going to do it. I have total trust in him. I can't do it. He can do it in me. I will make the firm purpose of amendment. I'll make a firm decision of living in the divine will. And then he's going to take care of it. I trust in him. I believe in him. I have confidence in him. What did Jesus say to St. Faustina? The final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. If we have that trust, God will do it. I, God, place myself at the soul's disposal. I, God, give the soul all the graces, all the light, all the love, and the very knowledge of my divine will, that's the book of heaven, so that the soul has to feel the need to live in it. When I, Jesus, want something, and the soul promptly accepts doing what I, God, want, then I, Jesus, take care of everything. And when the soul fails for weakness, this is our great hope. For inconstancy, this is us. For negligence, that's us. But not for will. I, Jesus, shall come and compensate. What a great blessing this is. I, Jesus, do what the soul was supposed to do. I, Jesus, transfer to her what I, Jesus, can do. As if she had done it. There's no way to lose in this one. It's all gain. There's no way to lose. You can bet the house on this. You're going to win. Why? Jesus says he's going to do it for you. Do you believe that? He says it to Louisa. Louisa put it on paper for us. Do you believe it? If you believe it, how can you be worried about anything? How can you be upset about anything? Jesus promises us the kingdom. He's going to do it. This is so much fun to read the divine will because we get to see how great our God is. He says, transferring to her what I, Jesus, did as if she had done it. What can you lose? You can't lose a thing. And all Jesus is saying, I want you to have this. All right? I'll do everything. I'll do everything. He did everything on earth. I'll do everything for you. I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to not have the kingdom of God. This is the glory of God. And he's asking us to participate in this. How amazing this. This is just so amazing. My daughter, living in my divine will is divine life. It is not virtue that I, Jesus, must form. So this life is divine life that Jesus forms. It's not human life. It's not the fallen human nature. That's all we know. When we look at the lives of the saints, they are good and holy and saintly lives done on a human level with divine grace. What Jesus is saying is, I want you to live my divine life on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. And life needs me, Jesus says, and continuous acts, otherwise it would not be life. At the most, it could be a work that doesn't need either continuous acts or life. Therefore, I, Jesus, do not break the life because of involuntary indispositions or weaknesses. That's the description of us. That's why we go to confession. But I, Jesus, continue my life. And it may be that in the same indispositions that there is even my divine will allowing those weaknesses in which case the human will of the creature would be running into mine anyway. So Jesus is saying here, a lot of the situations that we've fallen into, God will use to bring us back to him. The foolishness that we get involved in, the sin that we get involved in, Jesus says, I will allow that to happen to bring you back to me. You realize you don't want to live like this. Trust in him. Believe in him. Hope in him. Have confidence in him. And then among everything, I, Jesus, look at the agreement done together. The firm decision taken. Remember we just did that just a minute ago. The agreement done together. We agree, Lord, that we will live in the divine will. You will lead me, guide me, direct me to live in the divine will through little Louisa. The firm decision. I make this firm decision, Lord, that we will live. We will live this gift of the divine will against that which there has been no other decision. Looking at this, I, Jesus, keep compensating the soul in anything that is missing. This is why I'm sure I can live in the divine will. I'm trusting God to do it. I can't do it. Even more, I redouble the graces. I, God, surround the soul with new divine love, with new divine strategies of love to make the soul more attentive. I, God, provoke in her heart an extreme need to live in my most holy divine will. And I pray, God prays the soul to hold the divine will so tightly as to always be able to live together with the divine will. God's doing this. And this is why he says, I pray this every day at Holy Mass for all the souls who must live in the divine will. This must living in the divine will is what God has planned for us. We must live this life that our God has planned for us. We must. It's the only way. And what's so glorious is God says, I'll do it for you. You make the decision, and when you fail, I'll take care of it. What a great God we have. What a magnificent Lord we have. We want to live this life. As you read, as you study, again, I've said this before, you pray this every day, you read every day, and you'll be a completely different person next year. If you're happy now, you'll be doubly, triply, quadruply happy next year. Why? You're with Jesus every day. You're talking to Jesus every day. Jesus is talking to you every day. What joy is that? What happiness is that? There's nothing as beautiful as that. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our God, one with us, fused with us in his holy divine will. 536, 10, 26, 19, 38. My good daughter, do not fear. That's how we started today. Do not be afraid. Be courageous. And why? I, God, won't leave you. He created us because he loves us. There's nothing to worry about. Don't be afraid of anything. Be courageous. Be that soldier that God has called you to be, the soldier of the divine will, the celestial militia. That's what God is calling you to. I almost said it right. This is a great time to be alive. I can just imagine the saints if they were here today, if they were on earth today. And I mean, even Thomas Aquinas, how did he end? He didn't finish the Summa. He says, everything I've written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. This is what God is going to do. Jesus dictated these words to Louisa. Louisa put these words on paper. When you read the book of heaven, you're listening to Jesus. Jesus is speaking to your heart, your mind, your soul. Do not fear anything or anyone. Courage. I, Jesus, will not leave you. Read the divine will every day. It's magnificent. You know, it's magnificent. I, God, cannot leave you. The change of my love tie me to you and make us inseparable. But then, why do you fear to be leaving my divine will? Once we make that commitment, Jesus says, he says, I'll be with you until you make the commitment not to ever do this again, not to live in the divine will. Then who would be foolish enough to do that? Who would ever say, I don't want to live in God's most holy divine will? So he says, just as to enter into the divine will, it took a firm, resolute act of wanting to live in the divine will. In the same way, to get out of it, it would take another firm and resolute act, and you didn't do this. We didn't do this. We made the firm and resolute act to want to live in the divine will. And then he says, neither shall my daughter ever do it. Neither shall we ever do it. And then he says, shall you? That's a question from Jesus. Our response is, no, I never want to do this. I always want to be with you. When Jesus asks us a question in the divine will, respond back to him. He says, neither shall you ever do it. Shall you? And our response is, no, Lord, I will never want to do this. I want to have your life reigning in me. I want this gift of the divine will to reign in me. I want to be in your image and likeness. That's what Jesus is asking. That's what he's offering. Ah, what a glorious time to be alive. What a magnificent time to be alive. So we'll end with a prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the next part four will be August 14th, 15th, and 16th. It'll be a retreat. And we want to get together with all the little children of the Holy Divine Will. The annual family reunion of little children of the Holy Divine Will.